Can you afford to be a comic? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Can you afford to be a comic? Do you know what it is to be a comic?
No.
To be a comic is to make other people laugh. To be a comic is to bring joy and happiness into the hearts of others. To be a comic is to have just so much joy in your own heart, you bubble over in your voice and your words and your attitude and your actions, and you're a lovely person. Many of the comics at Las Vegas and on television and other places are not comics. They are commercialics. They are commercialics. They are men and women who try to be funny to make money. Isn't that interesting? They try to be funny to make money. And, of course, they're being gross in the greatest extreme. They're being...
Vulgar.
I'm sorry?
Vulgar. Vulgar.
Vulgar. Yes, that's a good word. They're being vulgar in the extreme. That's a good word. And this is not what a comic is. A comic can bring fun, joy, happiness to the scene without being vulgar. Now, we have had many comic shows on television, and the television code is so strict about having vulgar things on television that they just don't allow it. In England and in Europe, they allow it a great deal more than they do here in America. And in America, on public television, which goes into the homes and into the families, they do not allow it. It is very much forbidden. Now, people go to nightclubs and they hear this and they laugh, ha ha ha, and it's not really funny because it's just plain vulgar. Can you be a comic and can you be free of any vulgarity? And the answer is yes. You can be free of vulgarity when you have a happy heart. Now, do the people who watch television and who watch these various sitcoms like the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Red Skelton Show and a few others that were on television, did people laugh? Did people find it very comical? Did they think that it was the funniest thing in the world, slap their legs and kick their people next to them? Isn't that neat, you know? And then you go to Las Vegas and you see them being vulgar and let people laugh, but people are laughing. Why?
Because they have to.
Because they don't want their neighbors seeing them not laugh. Because if they do not laugh, then the neighbor says, "Oh, you're a prude. You know, you're a prude means that you are going around judging other people and what they're doing." Well, I say to you and me, let's all be prudes. Let's all be prudish about that we want only the finest thought to go into our mind, the finest words to go into our heart, the only the finest things to go into our life. There are some comics who can be on stage and be very successful and not be vulgar. And it doesn't have to be that your success depends on it, because your success depends on how well you can present the most ordinary activity and make it seem so humorous and so delightful. You can watch little children at play, and they are so innocent and they are so funny. They do things so comically that you look at them and you say, "My God, how do we write that down?" Well, you don't write it down because it's something so natural, and it's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. And if you're not there seeing it, you don't know the circumstances and you don't laugh. We want to be careful if we want to get people's attention by being funny. It is a custom to tell jokes. And everything, I look at the back of the Saturday Evening Post, and they have jokes in there. And the jokes are sick half of the time. They're just sick. And I mean, that is such a beautiful magazine for them to have sick jokes in it. Now, the New Yorker, they too get some sick jokes in there. But they try to be sophisticated about it. And they think their sophistication makes the joke acceptable, but it doesn't do that at all. If you can be a normal, beautiful, sensitive, caring human being, never say something that's going to belittle, put down another person. Never say something that is going to pick on another person. If a person walks in the room and they got a broken leg, oh, you broke your leg. Well, isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's so wonderful. Yeah. Why not look at the person and say, oh, I'm so glad you made it. It's always so much fun when you're here. It's always so wonderful when you come in the room. You know, you just sort of lighten up the whole place when you come in the room. It's, hey, how you been? And that's not a question of your health. How you been? Talk about something. Oh, fine. Oh, yeah, I had a great adventure the other day. I went down to the beach, and as I was at the beach, I was casting. And I had my cast on my leg here, and I put my rod on my leg, and somehow it got tangled up, and the fish that I caught was so big it pulled me out into the ocean in my wheelchair and the rod and everything. And you say, that doesn't sound very funny to me. Well, it is to me, because I never caught a big fish my whole life, so I got to be in a situation like this to catch a big fish, you know. And you know, he made funny out of it himself. But really, it's something, isn't it? People have such difficulty in looking at life and finding the beauty that's in life, and then talking about that, thinking about that, sharing that. To be a comic is not an easy thing. To be a comic takes thoughtfulness. Man, what did you do to your face? You put a smile on. You look beautiful. Not that you put rouge or powder or that you went and had a face job or something, but you smile. It looks great. Oh, man. If I were you, I'd wear that all the time. You don't have to wear anything else but a smile on your face, and the whole world is going to dance to your request. The whole world is going to say, well, I want to be where that person is, you know. Now, isn't that humorous? And it's not bad humor, but isn't that wonderful? Or a little kid comes in, and he's just scratched himself and bumped himself and bleeding all over the place, and you say, my goodness sakes. What are you trying to do? Turn my rug all red? You know? Now, you go in the bathroom and you wash that stuff off. And then you come back here and I'll give you a big hug. Or do you want a hug first? Oh, you want the hug first. All right, come on. I don't. But, Mom, you get all bloody. I don't mind. I don't mind getting bloody for you ever. You see? And that's humor. That's humor. Like we tell the story about the little girl grabbing the flowers, her mother's flowers, and bringing them into her mother. Say, Mommy, this is for you. And Mommy looks at, my God, my favorite flowers. Now, but she looks at the kid as her eyes, and it's just pure humor, pure joy, pure delight. You think of the nicest things. You're so sweet. Now, sweetheart, after a while, we're going to have some ice cream now, but after a while, I want to talk to you about helping me to plant some more flowers in the front yard and helping me to take care of them and taking pictures of them and bringing me pictures so that I can see them or telling me to come out and see them rather than pulling them up because then they don't grow anymore. They just have a short life. And, you know, talk nice and talk good and talk humorous. Say, oh, those flowers, they like to stick their feet down in the ground, you know? And they have a lot of feet. They go out this way, this way, this. Did you ever notice that? And they each have one leg they stand on. And they stand on one leg every day. And then they got all these leaves and all of these big plush of flower, big rose. And some even have a dozen coming out of one leg. Man, now, did you ever think of a flower having one leg? And did you ever think of a flower having many feet under that one leg? Not about that. And all those arms, those leaves waving around, you know. And sometimes they're branches. But each branch has leaves and arms. And each branch is a leg. It's a branch of the family, a leg of the family, you know. Interesting. These are all interesting terms. But humor is taking life's ordinary circumstances and putting a smile on it. And it starts with the smile that's on your face. When you look at something and you say, ooh, hey, that's neat. Oh, man, that's cool. You know, why? And then you try to tell somebody about it. And it was just humor for you alone, for your heart, for your joy. I know I have tried to do that with different people. Come, look at the sunset. Look at
Martino.
Him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marcello. I mean, Mattia.
Martino.
Well, I got your brothers all in there. You know. But yeah, I'm talking about you.
Parlo di te.
You and I were driving this morning, and he had the lights on, because it was dark yet. Mm-hmm. So we drove with the lights on. Then little by little, the sky turned lighter and lighter and lighter. Pretty soon, big flashes of light coming out. Beautiful. It was really beautiful to look at the sky. And, you know, how can I say, hey, look at the sky, isn't that beautiful? He said, I'm concentrating on driving right now. But he looked at the sky when he had a moment. And he did. And I too. Now, each one of us had to see it for ourselves and enjoy it for ourselves, because we couldn't share it. Because I could say in the words that I wanted to say, and he could only see in the thoughts that's in his heart, and he did a good job. But you see, humor doesn't have to be shared. Humor is experienced. And when you experience it, you experience one of the great joys in the world. And if you want to share it, just...
I am myself and I have fun.
Be yourself and have fun. When you're yourself and have fun, then the humor comes across. The humor comes across just so beautiful, so wonderful. And why?
Because I'm myself and have fun.
I like me.
Because I like me.
She did the other part. You did the I like me bit,
okay,
you know.
Okay.
You gotta do the I like me, and right. And what do you do?
I like me.
Well, okay, that's good too, but she did that already.
I live ideal, spirit, mind, and body.
She's training herself to get out of the habit of I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body into living in ideal spirit, mind, and body. It's not mine, it's the universal spirit, mind, and body. The ideal. Are you there?
I live ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Are you there?
I'm there.
I'm there. Great. And what about you, Pussycat?
I'm here.
You live in the...
Now.
Zoom. Now. Yes. And are you happy?
Yes.
Yes. Are you beautiful? Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yes. Do you think that you're a lovely girl? Yes. Hey, that's good. But just don't... Not this way, you know. Just straight out. You know. Yes, I'm a lovely girl. But this is being yourself and having fun. I like me, see? I am myself and I have fun. And?
I like him. I'm divine. She wants to say that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do I hear it?
I am divine order.
Right, I am divine order. I am my ideal. Go ahead. You had something? I'm peace. Super! Hey, you've been working with these kids, huh?
No, they come by themselves, they told me that.
Hey, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm happy. Mm. And this is what humor is all about. Humor is living in the now, enjoying the moment now with peace and love and happiness in your heart. And when you do that, wow, everything works out so great. You see, the absolute philosopher can only tell you one thing.
I am myself and I have fun.
I am myself and I have fun. That's all the absolute philosopher can tell you. That's all that the University of Healing can teach you. That's all that the University of Philosophy can teach you. That's all that you can reveal from within yourself. Who you are. Nice, huh? Have a good day.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.